like my boots? See, I never thought I was the cowgirl boot type, but these boots have a story. And I happen to believe that if everything in your life can have a story, then that just makes it all better. Life is too short to have a bunch of stuff without a story. So these boots come from a woman in Dallas. Her name is Kat Mendenhall. She was downsized from the corporate world, didn't quite know what she wanted to do with her life, and then it hit her. Vegan cowboy boots. No animals were harmed. Now, the only thing was, there is this centuries-old tradition in Texas of the handmade cowboy boot. And they really are made by hand by these bootmakers who've been doing it for a really long time, and it's a dying art. And there are very few of them left. So she contacted virtually every Texas bootmaker left living and presented this idea. That was 25 bootmakers. 22 of them would not even pay her the courtesy of a return email because they didn't like it that she was messing with the way things had always been done. But she didn't care because she didn't need 25 bootmakers. She only needed one, and she got three, and I have my boots, so life is good. So it's so good to be back. It's so good to be back at Unity of New York. It's been a while. I think it's been close to 3 years. I remember that last time I was here, I brought my little dog, Forbes, whom we had just adopted. And I just have to tell you, I love him more now than then. Who is in love with a dog? Aw, isn't it the best? You know, they say that people with dogs live longer, and they try to say it's because we have to walk them and all that. I don't think that's it. I think it is when another being looks up at you and goes, and it says without words, because they don't need words, you are the best person on the planet. That is worth 15 years of affirmations. No kidding there at all. So who do I know? Let me see. Who do I know? I can know you in real life or from Unity or from Facebook, which is kind of real depending on how you look at it. Anybody know me? Okay. And who, like, you don't know me at all and you wonder why they let me up here? Okay, that's more of you. Okay. So in this time that's passed, let's see what else has been going on in my life. Well, today, this is a big day for me. This is the 18th wedding anniversary of my husband and myself. That is, thank you. He's not here because he's heard me talk. But 18 years, no restraining orders. I think that's something to be proud of. You know, second marriage for both. They say statistically second marriages don't do as well, but I don't understand that because I think it's like Carnegie Hall, you know, practice, practice, practice. So that's good. So we're going to be going out and carrying on doing some New York anniversary celebrating. And let's see, celebrating. Well, since I was here last, I had a big birthday. 65.
Wow.
Yeah. Thank you. You know, age is a weird thing. And we say, well, it's only a number, except the culture gives some of the numbers kind of more stuff attached. So you think like 16, woohoo, you can drive. Freedom. 18, you're an adult. You can move out. But then you have responsibility. 21, you can drink without that ID that you got down on the Lower East Side. 40, you're for real. You're substantial. But a couple of the birthday cards you got had that over the hill joke on them. And then 50. Oh my gosh, 50. Maybe not so bad for men. But for women, 50, a lot of stuff's going on, kind of physically. And, you know, sometimes these changes are big. So men don't listen. Gay men really don't listen. You won't like this at all. But something can happen, ladies, around 50, maybe it's kind of 48, maybe it's more like 55. When you wake up in the morning and you know that Invasion of the Body Snatchers is more than an old movie. That is the morning after you went to bed with your nice flat stomach and your nice round bum and all was well in the world. And you woke up and unseen forces have turned it around. '50s are weird. I actually like turning 60 because then I didn't have to be 50s anymore. But then 65, the government gets involved. So I get this envelope from the president, and there is this little card inside that is red, white, and blue. This is a Medicare card. Now, I had seen one of those before, but when I opened it, I thought, there's a mistake. My grandmother died. She doesn't need this any longer. Must be for another apartment, but it had my name on it. And there was a letter, and it didn't say this, like, exactly, but to kind of paraphrase, it said, "Dear Ms. Moran, we of the United States government believe that you are decrepit." Or if not quite yet, it's coming soon. And with all good faith, we want to help you with that. Next paragraph. And you may also be really tired. And if you are indeed so tired that you don't want to do anything anymore, we would actually send you back some of your money so that you wouldn't have to do anything. And I'm reading this and thinking, this is a form letter. Because those of us who are artists or self-employed, we're not going to retire at 65. We're not going to retire at 97. You know, you see these things on TV. Yeah. What do they say? Old writers don't retire, they just die. You see the piece and they'll say, Jenny Mitchell, 98 years old, still working at Clem's Diner because she just loves her customers. Well, what they don't tell you is she was married to a musician. She needs the tips. She doesn't care about the customers. So I know, you know, I'll be working at 97, which is fine if God wants to give me 97 years. Hooray! So that's just a little kind of background of what's been going on with me. Now, I do not think that it's anybody's business how old anybody is. And our kind of sister tradition, kind of in the 1800s, unity was happening there in Missouri and in California. They had divine science and religious science came a little later. And then in Massachusetts, there was Mary Baker Eddy, and she was doing Christian Science. And Christian Science, they're very strict. You can't go to the doctor. Lots of things you can't do if you're Christian Science. And one of the things they suggest is do not tell anybody your age, because you are a soul. You are an eternal soul. The date that when this body showed up just really doesn't mean anything. Now, Carol Channing, Christian Science, would never tell her age until she was 83. And she was doing so well, she figured it was more to the glory of God to let everybody know she was 83 than to follow the rules. So I kind of thought, well, I'll always just be like Carol Channing. I'll wait till I'm 83. But I was thinking about how can my life attract people to a bigger and better life for themselves? What can I do? And I was kind of looking for a spiritual experience that would help me with some of that, and I had one in Penn Station. You know, I don't buy any of those like guided meditation kind of CDs and stuff, because they always say, imagine you're in a beautiful forest and there's a rushing stream. Birds are chirping. I'm never in a rushing stream place. I'm kind of in a rushing train place. So I'm in Penn Station, and I need to get a ticket to go to Newark, because I'm going to then fly to Toronto. And I go to get my ticket. Well, the young woman there selling the ticket was so cute. Oh, my gosh. I can't see you very well because of the lights, but if you happen to be young and you don't think you're gorgeous, get over it. You are so flippin' gorgeous, you just don't know. So do not waste these precious decades of thinking, oh my gosh, it's my thighs. No, you are perfect. You're absolutely perfect. And this young woman, oh, perfect. Gorgeous, thick, wavy hair. Little tiny waist, little perky bosoms. And I said, Newark round trip. And I'd like the senior discount. And she said, you gotta be 62. And something just shifted. And instead of wanting to hide it in that moment, I thought, what am I doing the most in my life right now? I do some spiritual stuff, I speak for some churches. Mostly, I'm doing my vegan thing. Now, I know most people aren't vegans. I know most people aren't vegetarians. Do I want to convert you? Of course I do. Do I love you if I don't convert you? Of course I do. But that, for me right now, is the emphasis of my life. I believe this is where God wants me to be, and there's just so much movement happening in that area. And it just hit me that I needed to say to that young woman, well, I'm more than 62, I'm 65, but I'm vegan. We don't show our age. And what that taught me is that what I have to give to the world isn't necessarily what I want people to know about. I mean, we live in a culture of youth. It's kind of embarrassing to be an age where if you want to sing when I'm 64, you have to change the lyrics to back when I was 64. But people are looking for wonder. People are looking for transformation. People are looking for redemption. And that doesn't come from everything is just fine and always has been. That comes from I was lost and now I'm found. And that kind of grace is amazing. And that's what people are looking for. And I learned right there at Penn Station with Barbie that what I am today and what I have today and what I can give today is all I have. That's all any of us has. So what do you have? What do you have that somebody wants? I didn't make this up. They've got it in the 12 steps. They say that if you have what somebody wants, then they're very likely to want to do what you did to get it. So how do you do that? How do you become this charismatic person who ripples out the good stuff? The stuff you've learned, the stuff you've found, the stuff that's helped you, the stuff that you think could help somebody else, the stuff that you think could revolutionize the world. How do you get that out to people? Are you going to run up to people on the street and shove it at them? That doesn't seem to work very well. Well, what I think you can do is live your life and become the point of attraction. See, we used to talk a lot about the law of attraction. Who's been around Unity long enough that you remember? Oh, we did that? My gosh, did we do that? And we just kind of wanted to make ourselves Velcro. It's like, okay, I'm going to attract house, car, relationship, money, job, fame. I mean, we were like sticky noted. Except usually there wasn't that much stuff. It didn't stick all that well. And we kind of started to see maybe we've got something here, but maybe we don't quite have the whole picture. And what started coming to me in Penn Station is, wait a minute, I think Jesus gave us the whole picture if we just want to listen and learn. See, when Jesus went up to Peter, Peter was thinking, cool, this guy has prophet capabilities. He can do stuff to get me more fish than anybody in Judea. I'm going to be the Donald Trump of fishermen. But Jesus said, no, that's not quite how we're going to work this thing. I want to make you a fisher of men. Huh. What about that? What about if maybe not just attracting all kinds of stuff and stuff I want and stuff I think is cool and stuff I think is glittery and stuff I think would make me happy? What if I could be? What if you could be a fisher of men? Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. So what if we, Unity of New York, Symphony Space, Upper West Side, Great White Way, could lift up everybody that we come in contact with just by how we live our lives, just by how we are, just by what we exude? What would happen? Miracles, I think. So how do we do it? I have a little acronym, and it's the word ACT, A-C-T. Now, who's new? Who's never been to Unity before? Hi. Okay, Unity is way big on thought, positive thinking, all that kind of thing, and that is so good, and I'm not going to talk about that. The thought is the foundation, obviously. But I'm an Aries. I like to act. I want fire signs. Aries, Leos, Sagittarians. That's my people. Love the rest of you, but that's my people. Okay. ACT. A-C-T. Here's the formula. Authenticity, connection, and taking care of business. So let's talk about each one of those things. Authenticity is not expendable. You've got to be yourself. We always say to adolescents, just be yourself. Well, they don't know what that means because we don't know what that means. But it has tremendous power. Now, so often people say, yeah, but I'm not enough. I'm not good enough. I need to be like somebody else. I run a training program here in the city. I train vegan lifestyle coaches and educators. People go through this week-long program. They absolutely love it. They're all on this great high. And almost every class, somebody will come up to me and say, I can hardly wait to get out and start coaching and teaching, but I need to lose 20 pounds first. I failed. Because the fact is, we are absolutely just right, just the way we are today. And it doesn't matter if you want to lose 20 pounds. Good luck with that. I hope it happens. I hope it happens forever. Happened for me. I lost 60 31 years ago. It stayed off forever. Good deal. But that isn't what's going to attract people to you. People are going to be attracted to you because of who you are. And you know, sometimes you can be too perfect. I was looking for a trainer at one point. I had a little extra money, and I thought, I'll go over here to Equinox, where, you know, all the fancy people go, and I'll just hire me a trainer, and I'll get to be all strong and gorgeous. And so the manager said, oh, here's this woman. You would love this woman. Her name is Wendy. She'll be perfect for you. Well, I wasn't going to take his word, so I go online, where no one is safe, and I go on Facebook, and I find this Wendy. Well, her Facebook profile picture. She's wearing a two-piece leotard. And in between the two pieces is an eight-pack. I didn't even know women could get that. And then she had this short kind of spiky hairdo, and she looked like she'd been in the Marines, and she looked very, very unkind. I don't want to pay money to have somebody be mean to me. I was not happy with that manager. In fact, I was so unhappy that I took my laptop and I went into my husband's office and I said, look at this woman. This is the trainer that manager thinks I ought to be working with. And William said, well, if you work with her, could I watch? Well, long and short of it, she turned out to be wonderful. Looks can be deceiving. But the fact is, that perfect trainer look was not what I was looking for. And so who you are authentically and for real right now today could totally be what the person that you're meant to reach is looking for. Where did Jesus tell us that the kingdom of God is? It is within each and every one of us. Why is that so hard to believe? Look at somebody next to you. If you're on a corner, make it a three-way. Don't make anybody feel left out. Just look at the person. Look at somebody. And just get it in your head that the kingdom of God could be in that person. Okay, look, you're not looking at people. I know, you know, I'm cute, but look at people. Look at people. Is there anybody that you're looking at that you can say to me, kingdom of God couldn't be in that person. I'm married to him, I know. It's so easy. I see the kingdom of God in my dog, Forbes. But seeing it in ourselves can be difficult. And because it's difficult, it's sometimes hard to be authentic. It's all we've got. The kingdom of God within us, expressing through us in the way we have to express it, is the coolest thing ever. It's unique. It's as bespoke as my boots. And it is blessed and glorious and perfect. So you, just the way you come, just the way you are, that's it. That's what you've got. The first step of your action to live in an aspirational way, to become a fisher of men, authentic. Be authentically yourself and then connect. Connect with your higher power, however you conceive of that to be. You need to live a God-centered life. And has anybody here found in your life in New York City that sometimes if you use the G word, people think ill of you? I have found it because there's this huge kind of humanistic, atheistic thing. People have been hurt by religion, or they somehow have the idea that they can't be intelligent and scientific and like Darwin and still believe that there's something more, that there's that extra spiritual impetus, that little edge. That little edge is the difference between blah and magic. You want that? Connect. Have you ever been at Starbucks and you just happened to be audacious enough to be sitting in the table by the plug, and somebody needs to charge his phone. Sorry, excuse me. Ah! Now, why? Why would somebody make such a fool of himself in a public place, disturb your latte? Because when it's charged, that phone is a library, a movie theater, a concert hall, a way to connect and communicate and learn and hook up. But when it's not charged, it's just metal and glass. It's pretty worthless. When we're not charged by being connected to the higher power that lives in, through, breathes, and is us, except if we don't acknowledge this, it's not even there. We're like that phone that didn't have a plug at Starbucks. So you've got to acknowledge that no matter how smart you are and no matter how sophisticated you are, could you make so much as a fruit fly? I couldn't. It's wonderful and magical and miraculous. But we've got to know that where that comes from is the mystical. In that place that is extra physical, but part of the physical, you see, it's all connected. It's heaven and earth, and sometimes you can see heaven on earth, and then you know that all you need to do is plug in, listen, and then go forth and act. T, in our acronym, taking care of business. That one's hard for me. Because taking care of business means I have to acknowledge the laws of life on earth and deal with them. Now, some people are very earthly. Some people's spirituality is very earthy. The Native American traditions, the Wiccan traditions, some of the shamanistic traditions, very much rooted in the earth. It's a beautiful thing. It's not me. My first spiritual experience was in my stroller. I know it was before I was three, because we moved when I was three. Dark night, not living in Manhattan, so I could see stars. And I looked up at those stars and I thought, that's home. Well, I'm here now, doing this. Nothing wrong with it, but it ain't home. So my spirituality isn't quite as connected to the earth as some people's. And maybe those people that have more of that earth connection just find it easier to make the bed and floss and pick up after themselves and write thank you notes and not lose their keys. That's the kind of stuff that, whether you're an earth person or a star person, you gotta deal with as long as you're here. And sometimes we think, oh, well, that stuff's not spiritual. It is so spiritual. It's like this. You got an athlete, and he's worked out, and he's done the right kind of exercise so that his body is perfect for his sport. And he is out there just making waves and making money. And as happens so often, sometimes success leads to excess, and our athlete is maybe staying out late at night. And maybe he is ingesting some substances or sniffing and snorting and whatever. And that affects his body, and that affects his play on the field. Now, in a spiritual way, when we are not taking care of the bills and the dust bunnies and the rest, it starts to erode our soul, just the way that athlete is affecting his body. To a person like me, the worst sentence that I can hear is, honey, do you know where the plunger is? The toilet is clogged. Because I don't do plungers. I do plunging into life and creativity and wonder and magic. But when the toilet's clogged, the magic is clogged. When the closet is cluttered, the magic is blocked. Who read that best-selling book by that little Japanese lady, The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up? Well, who wouldn't buy a book called that? I wish I had had the title, and I'm very jealous. But think about it. There is life-changing magic in tidying up. There's life-changing magic in getting things done. There's life-changing magic in taking care of business. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to be incredibly authentic. Nobody else. No masquerading. Have you ever masqueraded? I have. In high school, I used to carry around books I didn't read. And sometimes, especially if it was a good-looking guy, and he'd say, oh, that's a good one. I'd go, the best. The best. And then I went through a phase where I thought I was supposed to be corporate, and so I wore shoulder pads, and I had this really stiff hair, so when I moved my hair didn't go anywhere. It was like I was trying to embody an entire HR department. We're going to be authentic. And then we are going to connect with the God of our understanding. We're going to say, stay so close that we're going to be guided. And so every minute of every day, we are going to know what is the next indicated thing, and that's what we're going to do. And then we're going to take care of business in the regular world. Ah, the darling physical plane. Yeah, it's ours. It's ours for now. This is where we are going to become fishers of men. This is where we are going to become co-creators with God of the new heaven and the new earth. This is where we are going to be co-conspirators in evolution to bring about the upward progression of the universe. Will we get stuff? Yeah. We'll get all the stuff we need. Will we be happy? Oh, yeah. A lot of the time. And when we're not, we'll have this contentment level, that we won't go under. I think that's what he meant when he talked about the peace that passes understanding. And this is good, don't you think? Good way to live? I think so. It's good, like in Genesis. God said, very, very good. Thank you.
Victoria Moran. Take another breath. Let it out. And I love what I was hearing there is that the message that you are enough, that we are enough. I love talking about the self. I love that quote from Oscar Wilde. It says, be yourself. Everyone else is taken. So now let's, in that space of knowing that truth, or perhaps being willing to know that truth, as we prepare for meditation to go deeper to that place of the self with a capital S, where we are all we need. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful for all that I have. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful. I am so blessed for all that I am. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful for all that I am. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful. I am so blessed for all that God is. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful for all that God is. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful. I am so blessed.
Take a breath and let it out. Feel the gratitude of knowing that every breath you take is infused with a life force of that which created you. And as we continue to inhale and exhale and give thanks for the seat that supports you, and you feel your feet flat on the floor or flat on whatever device they may be resting upon, and allow yourself to be enfolded, immersed in, and loved by that one power and one presence that is. We are because God is. We are because God is. And no matter what it looks like or feels like or seems like, the truth is, all is well. Whatever we may be feeling in this now moment, it still is the best day ever. It still is the best moment ever. This moment, followed by the next moment, followed by the next moment. And when we allow ourselves to choose life, to choose our thoughts that promote life, and to choose to take actions that promote life, we exude the life force that we are. When we choose to be the light that we have been created to be, it is good, and it is right, and it is perfect. Choosing life, choosing to be the light, is choosing to live our truth. And as we have been so beautifully reminded today, living from the inside out, being the light of the world that we have been created to be, being the salt of the earth that we have been imagined into being, means we have chosen authentic living. We were not told it would be easy. We have been told that all things are possible when we believe, when we pray believing, claiming our truth and our true nature, and choosing to embrace our power of release and release whatever does not serve life. Releasing whatever covers up the authentic beings that we have been created to be. By claiming our power of release, we can choose to lay it aside and to let it go and to let it be, so that we can uncover the splendor, to take our candle out from underneath that cover, that lampshade, that bushel, and allow our bright light to shine. Darkness cannot exist where light is shining. We don't have to move the darkness anywhere. We embrace and be the light that we are and allow it to shine. And as we take another breath and prepare for a moment of silence, we can ask Spirit, through grace and mercy, to reveal to us that which needs to be revealed so that we may release it to allow our light to shine, and take a breath and let it out and know whether you get the answer in this now moment or the next or later today or tonight. We ask believing, and it is answered as we move into the silence. Take a breath and give thanks for a moment to be still. To be still and know. To be still and know your truth. To be still and rest in the comfort of knowing that God is and all is truly well. And we give thanks for this. And for the truth with a capital T. For knowing our authentic living is just perfect. Each of us is enough. And breathe into knowing you are enough. I am enough. We are enough. Right here and right now. And for this we say thank you, thank you, thank you. And so it is. Amen.